Father, I truly do thank you for what you're doing here right now to your people. I thank you, Father God, that you know each and every need, each and every desire of the heart. And I thank you, Father, that you're diligently working to give them exactly what you know that they need. Father, we thank you for your angelic host. We thank you for your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. You know, you need to understand that God knows exactly where we come from. He knows exactly what he needs to do to us, through us, and with us. And if you're a vessel that God's using, it is God speaking to you, not the vessel. And so don't take out what God is saying to you on the vessel. Get in a corner and argue with God about it. Because you bind up the vessel so much when you come against the vessel. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that my Father corrects me. It doesn't let me go down that road that he doesn't want me down. And he corrects me because he loves me. He's not doing that because he just feels like taking me to the woodshed for the day. He does that so one day I could sit in heavenly places. And each one you need to understand it. You know, if you come into a prophetic church to begin with, well, nine times out of ten, God's going to prophesy to you. Or if he doesn't prophesy to you, you're going to hear a word that you needed to hear through the teaching. And that word isn't going to make you feel good. That word is going to make you feel, well, I'm in a bad place right now. And that's what a prophetic church does. It speaks the truth. And then the truth will set you free. I'm saying all that because God is, he talked to us about being led by the Spirit. Now, this is a teaching, not from God. It's just a teaching from his word. God wants us to walk in the Spirit, not just for 5 minutes, but 24/7. He wants to be able to speak to us at any given time, no matter what we're doing. I don't care what you're doing. God wants to be able to speak to you and to give you direction about yourself, or direction for other people, or direction for the world. All right? If you're not walking in the Spirit, this isn't going to happen. Now, this morning, so many of you went out here really upset. Some of you didn't even come in tonight. Why was you upset? All God was doing was correcting us. All he was doing was making sure that we heard the word so we don't end up in hell. And, you know, God's corrected me many times. He corrects me all the time. And, you know, it isn't my job to get upset with him. It's my job to say, okay, God, I didn't realize, if you don't realize it's going on, I didn't realize that was going on. Thank you for warning me, you know, so that I don't go down into the throes of hell. All right? God told us that we were going to have to go into hell to pull some of our loved ones out of hell. He prophesied that to us. So if you have to go into hell to pull so God can pull somebody out, so be it. That's your job. And whatever it takes, we need to get the job done. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See that? And and if you're walking in the Spirit, your fruit should be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See that? You know, as I was sitting there doing praise and worship, God just put it in my remembrance that when Jesus walked the earth, all right, can you sound, do I sound okay to y'all? I sound like I'm talking in a tunnel or something. Something's not right, right? You know, Jesus would go around, walk around, and he'd teach the people, and then Peter and whoever else had to go behind him and clean up the mess. All right? And, you know, this is the way it is today. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks, and then we have to clean up the mess. And really, if you really listen to read what Jesus spoke about, he just told the people how they should live, right? And then, you got me all fixed. You made that big trek just to do that? Good grief. And you know, some of you left here this morning. I mean, you were so angry. I didn't even want to be anywhere near you. You were so angry. Why? Jesus spoke. And it was up to you to clean up the mess that's in your life. You know, so you'd be right with Jesus. So I don't want you to come around here and tell me you're all right whenever you act like that when God gives you a word. You know? At least you weren't in a great big church among lots of other people, and you're like, God did me one time, and then he chastised me, and I was so dumb I didn't know I was being chastised. That was a good thing. It's good to be ignorant sometimes, you know. But when I really realized years later what God was talking about, I thanked him for giving me that word. Other people knew what God was saying to me, but I didn't, because I was new in the Lord. But I thanked him for giving me that word so that I would know when I was walking through it, that it was displeasing to the Father. All right, we have stepped into a new season, and it is only by his Spirit that we will know the way to walk in it. Only by what? His Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to know how to proceed from this day forth. John 14:26 says, Jesus said, but the Helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. The Holy Spirit is one who's supposed to teach you how to walk out your walk with God. And when I hear people say, well, I can't quit this sin, and I can't do that, and I can't do that, that's telling me you're not walking in the Spirit. Because when God shows you that you're doing something wrong, and when you cry out to God, the Holy Spirit immediately comes on the scene and starts working with you to help you walk out that thing. The Apostle Paul is telling us, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, then let him have full control of our lives. The Holy Spirit was sent to our constant, infallible as our constant, infallible guide. The Holy Spirit will always lead, guide, and direct you as long as you want him to. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will walk away from you when you don't want him to lead, guide, and direct you, and you decide, I'm just going to do this myself, my way. He will let you do that. He will not force you to do anything he's trying to get you to do. All right, so then, in other words, what Jesus said and what Paul says, we are to be led by the Spirit, not by our flesh. In John 14:27, Jesus says, I leave you peace. It is my own peace I give you. I give you peace in a different way than the world does, so don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you my peace, not the peace of the world, not the peace Barbara has, you know, all that, but the peace that Jesus has. See, we need to understand that everything we have, if we're walking in the Spirit, everything we have comes from Jesus, comes from the Godhead. Romans 8:4 says, he did this so that we could be right, just as the law said we must be. Now, we don't live following our sinful selves, we live following the Spirit. People who live following their sinful selves think only about what they want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about what the Spirit wants them to do. So what are you thinking about now? What you want? Or do you want to satisfy the desires of God's heart? Think about this. Verse 6 says, if your thinking is controlled by your sinful self, there is spiritual death. But if your thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. That's why when all hell's breaking loose against you, they all think you're crazy. But really what you're doing is walking in the Spirit and in the Spirit in the peace of God. And people who are not walking in Spirit can't understand that. You know, there's whole churches that say there is no Holy Spirit. And I feel sorry for them because they don't really walk in any kind of peace. Verse 7 says, why is this true? Because anyone whose thinking is controlled by their sinful self is against God. They refuse to obey God's law, and really they are not able to obey it. See that? Those who are ruled by their sinful selves cannot please God. But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. You are ruled by the Spirit. If that Spirit is God, I'm sorry. But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. You are ruled by the Spirit. If that Spirit of God really lives in you. But whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Your body will always be dead because of sin. But if Christ is in you, then the Spirit gives you life because Christ made you right with God. And verse 11 said, God raised Jesus from death. And if God's Spirit lives in you, he will also give life to your bodies that die. Yes, God is the one who raised Christ from death, and he will raise you to life through his Spirit living in you. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And he says, the comforter is the Holy Spirit. So first of all, God was directing us, and Jesus was directing us. Now the Holy Spirit's directing us. For 10 years, God withdrew the Holy Spirit from the churches. But he finally said, I'm bringing my Holy Spirit back. And when I bring my Holy Spirit back, the miracles will begin once again. So what is going on in your life? Are you truly ruled by the Holy Spirit? Are things starting to line up with what God has spoken to you? Or are you still walking in confusion? If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you do not walk in confusion. And that is the truth. I didn't say the devil wouldn't fight you. I said you will not walk in confusion because you know what God's calling you to do, and you know that you're working with everything within you to do that, but you also know you're in the middle of a battle. And the enemy's trying to get you to believe that you're not doing what God's calling you forth to do. Now, we've really walked through all of this. We really should be walking in a different way, but some are not. So if you haven't made it that far, don't give up hope. I remember one time God told me that Brother Allen wasn't going to make it. And he gives this testimony how everybody quit talking to him and this and that and the other. And he determined, I'm going to make this. And sure enough, he made it. He didn't care what God told me. He was going to make it. So he made it. You know, in the Bible, there's even an example where the king was, the prophet went to the king and said, you're going to die. Before the prophet even got out to the courtyard, God said, turn around and go back and tell him, no, he's going to live. Why did that happen? Because that king did not want to die, and he went to God and said, give me 15 more years. So you know, if the devil's telling you that you're not going to make it, take it up with God and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm repenting right now, and I want to live and not die, and I want to serve you, and I want the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in me. And lead God and direct me. We're all making mistakes in our walk with God, everybody in this room. There's things that happen that you that you aren't expecting to happen, and you can't control them, and your mind goes whoopee on you, you know, and all kind of things. But you don't give up on God. That's the bottom line. God is always, if you're walking in the Spirit, God's always in control. All right, there are only two ways for a Christian to walk, either in the flesh or in the Spirit. Remember years ago, God said, I'm done with religion. I lost a lot of people when I made that statement. I'm done with religion. It's you either walk in the Spirit or you don't walk with me. A lot of people didn't want to hear that. They wanted to be in control of their flesh, and God said, no. If you're going to be my child, then the Holy Spirit's going to lead God and direct you. All right, the flesh has its own stubborn will, and it acts as it pleases. But walking in the Spirit is just the opposite. We surrender our will to the Holy Spirit and trust His still small voice to direct us in all things. This is important. The flesh has its own stubborn will, and it acts as it pleases. But walking in the Spirit is just the opposite. We surrender our will to the Holy Spirit and trust His still small voice to direct us in all things. My granddaughter, who started to come to church, she would say, I was out, you know, because she was hooked on drugs and alcohol. And she said, the Holy Spirit would always warn me that there was danger. Even though she was out there, you know, backslid out there on drugs and drinking, the Holy Spirit was still leading, guiding, directing her. And she'd always pray, and God would always tell her what to do. So, you know, I don't care. You don't have no excuse for not following God. Now, today she's back in the house of God. And she did what her flesh wanted to do. Believe me, she did. She was a mess. But the change in her just recently has been awesome. You know, is she perfect? Absolutely not. But, you know, she's letting God lead God and direct her, and she's on her way up. All right, Psalm 37:23 tells us the footsteps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. By the footsteps of who? A good man are ordered by the Lord. And we need to understand that the Spirit does this ordering. How many of you really wanted to do something, you know, you really wanted to do it, and God said, no, you can't do that. And you don't think it's a bad thing, but you just really want to do that thing. And God said, no, you can't do that. Well, you just can't do that. It's not really a bad thing, but it's something that God knows down the line is going to trip you up. So He's saying, no, you can't do that. And I watch people. When God tells them no, they act like they've just lost their head. You know, they just go crazy because how dare you tell me no? Well, God will tell you no more times than He tells you yes if you really are letting the Holy Spirit order your footsteps. All right, to do the will of the Father, we must be walking in constant, total submission. Constant total submission to who? The Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus walked in constant absolute submission to the Father. In John 5:19, but Jesus answered, I assure you that the Son can do nothing alone. He does only what He sees His Father doing. The Son does the same things that the Father does. So we should be reading our word, and we should be doing what Jesus did. Then in John 5:30, I can do nothing alone. This is Jesus speaking. I judge only the way I am told, and my judgment is right because I am not trying to please myself. I want only to please the one who sent me. See, this is a problem with the body of Christ. We don't want to please the one who sent us. We want to do, after all, you're the big will now, right? And you have a right to do whatever you want to do. That's not true. You have no right to do anything. If you think I enjoyed this morning, I did not. I was not expecting that. I thought we was going to get just, God was going to drop down on us and great, powerful things were going to happen and we were going to have a Gloria Hallelujah time. You know, that isn't the way it works. All right, John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food is to do what the one who sent me wants me to do. My food is to finish the work that he gave me to do." This is Jesus speaking. He can't do what he wants to do. He has to do what the Father's telling him to do. And John 6:38, "I came down from heaven to do what God wants, not what I want." Jesus speaking again. How many of you receive Christ to do what Jesus wants, not what you want? I'm no different than you. I can sit in my bedroom ranting and raving like a fool about what I'm going to do, you know, to people who come against me. But that's as far as it goes. It stays right in the bedroom. Because God says, you're not going to do nothing. You're going to be still. You know, he told me, be still so often. You know, that's the only words I knew, be still. So I'm no different than you. When I preach to you, I preach to myself. When I read the word hits what I do also. And, you know, we never really attain. We'll be walking this walk out until the day Jesus Christ takes us home. And the enemy's going to come at you and say, look at you. Look what you just thought. Look what you just said, you know, to yourself in the bedroom or to whoever will listen in your bedroom. Gabriel says, you don't even do what you say you're going to do. And I said, well, honey, I can't do what I say I'm going to do because God won't let me. He can't quite grasp that yet, you know, but he will when as he grows older. So where am I at? Therefore, we must walk in total submission, just as Jesus walked in constant, absolute submission. In John 16:13, but when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, Jesus said he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak his own words. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what will happen in the future. If you walk in the Spirit, God will always tell you what's going to be happening. I know what's going to happen in Brother Merlin's men's meeting already. I'm not going to tell him. He can just hear that for himself. You know, why do I know that? Because he's connected with the lighthouse, and God tells me what's going on in the lighthouse. And so I know how to pray properly. All right, question. How can we possibly think we don't have to depend on the Father for all things when Christ himself said he did? I'm just like Jesus. No, you're not. Because what did we just say there? How can we possibly think we don't have to depend on the Father for all things when Christ himself said he did? Numbers 9:16. The cloud stayed over the holy tent all the time, and at night the cloud looked like fire. This is whenever the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. When the cloud moved from its place over the holy tent, the Israelites followed it. When the cloud stopped, that is a place where the Israelites camped. So the Holy Spirit led the Israelites through their little desert road they were on. Moses and the children of Israel followed this cloud no matter where it led them. And Numbers 9:18 said, this was the way the Lord showed the Israelites when to move and when to stop and set up camp. While the cloud stayed over the holy tent, the people continued to camp in that same place. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the holy tent for a long time. The Israelites obeyed the Lord and did not move. You should ask God, every decision you make in your life should go before the throne of grace, before you act on it. And you should hear from God before you move, you know, in any area of your life, no matter what it is. You know, the girls that went to college, they really get before God and say, is it okay if we go to college? Is it okay if we live in dorms? Is it okay if we go to this college? You know, then they shouldn't have done anything until they heard from the Father. Then whatever they did would have worked out fine. I don't know how it's working out. I'm just using that as an example, all right? I don't care if you're going to go buy a car. You just don't go buy a car. I mean, you get a clunker in a hurry, right? You have to tell the Holy Spirit to lead you and show you if you're supposed to buy the car. And he will let you know if you're really following him and listen to his voice. And Numbers 9:22 says, if the cloud stayed over the holy tent for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people stayed at that place. They did not leave until the cloud moved. When the cloud rose from its place and moved, they also moved. So the people obeyed the Lord's commands. They camped when the Lord told them to, and they moved when he told them to. They watched carefully and obeyed the Lord's commands to Moses. They might not have wanted to move, but God said, get up and move. You know? Or remember, they didn't want to stay as long as they stayed. And they said, we're tired of being in this place. Move us to someplace new. We want to get to the end of our journey. But they never moved unless the light, you know, the cloud moved. This is why we walk in the Spirit in this church. I won't do anything unless God is directing me to do it. I don't want egg on my face. I don't want to give God a bad name. We only do and say what God tells us to do and say. Many people, when we first started, was always coming to me and giving me advice. And I said, no, if God doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. And I didn't. And we're fine. And we're doing what God wants us to do. Are you listening? Quit following people's advice. Learn to hear God for yourself. Well, some of you are in trouble if I say that, because that scripture, God will give you what you want. But whenever you go before God, you should always be open and honest. Say, Father, you can even say, this is a desire in my heart. I've done this. I said, but I want your will to be done in my life, not my own. And 9 out of 10 times, he won't let me have what I want. But he knows what I need. And then that's what I follow. All right, in the New Testament, we see the glory of God coming down upon the disciples in the upper room in Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a noise came from heaven. It sounded like a strong wind blowing. This noise filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something that looked like flames of fire. The flames were separated and stood over each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak different languages. The Holy Spirit was giving them the power to do this. God told them to tarry in the upper room, and they did. They listened. And then the Holy Spirit came and filled with fire. And then Acts 5:1 says, oh, let's just stop there. All right, so we know what happened when they tarried and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. People were saved every day. They went out there and the people got saved because they went out how? In the Holy Spirit. They didn't have it when they went into the upper room, but they had it when they came out of the upper room. And while Jesus was on the earth, he was the only one filled with the Spirit. But after he died, he said, I'm going to give you another comforter. And who was that comforter? You remembered. Thank you. So now we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:1 says, there was a man named Ananias. His wife name was Sapphira. Ananias sold some land he had, but he gave only part of the money to the apostles. He secretly kept some of the money for himself. His wife knew this, and she agreed with it. Peter said, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your mind with such an idea? You kept part of the money for yourself and lied about it to the Holy Spirit. Who did he lie to? The Holy Spirit, not Peter. You can be filled. Okay, so Ananias sold this land, and the devil told him, just keep part of it for yourself and then just give some to the church. But Peter said, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill your mind with such an idea? You kept part of the money for yourself and lied about it to the Holy Spirit. So when you lie to me, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. When you think you're fooling me, you're not fooling me, trying to fool me, you're trying to fool the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't work. You can't do that. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but That doesn't mean you're walking in obedience to his leading and allowing yourself to be governed by him. Galatians 5:25 tells us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, we must wait for the direction of the Holy Spirit in all things and only move when the Holy Spirit directs us to move. You know, like I said, my boys say, well, why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? Because in their minds are intelligent and they see what's going on wrong and they want me as the head of the household to take control, but they don't understand as the head of the household, I walk in the Spirit and God's in control. If you do something in your flesh, you could cause a whole lot more problems than what you already have. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, then he does it perfectly. All right, isn't this the truth? Amen. You gave me a good answer. Thank you. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that every promise of God is yes and amen. Whatever God tells you, if it's truly a true prophet, whatever he spoke to you is going to come to pass. There are three things that we must always believe. One, we must believe that God has established us, sealed us, and filled us, and anointed us with his Holy Spirit. All right? We have to believe that or let's just quit. All right, 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22 says, and God is the one who makes you and us strong in Christ. It's God that does it. God is also the one who chose us for his work. You didn't choose yourself. People always say, well, I found God today. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. He finally got your attention. He's been chasing after you for all these years. All right? And verse 22 said, God put his mark on us to show that we are his. Yes, he put his Spirit in our hearts as a first payment that guarantees all that he will give us. You can't walk in the Spirit until you believe you are filled with the Spirit. You know, one thing I don't do is I don't, you know, line people up and say, now you're going to get filled with the Spirit. Say, ba, ba, boo, boo, blah. And now you got the Spirit. You know, I don't believe in that. I really don't. I just know that when you ask the Holy Spirit to come in, he comes in. And when he really comes in, you know, He just consumes you and does a perfect work. All right, the second point is Jesus promised that the Spirit would be the inner voice to teach us, to guide us, to glorify Christ in us, and to chose us, and show us things to come. And John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. How long? Forever. The helper is a Spirit of truth. The people of the world cannot accept him. You know, so if you're not really saved, you can't accept the Holy Spirit because they don't see him or know him, but you know him. He lives with you and he will be in you. But the helper will teach you everything and cause you to remember all that I told you. This helper is a Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. I can't memorize the Bible, but God said, whatever you read and put in there, the Holy Spirit will pull it out when it needs to be pulled out. So don't worry about if you can't memorize it. Just read it. And that's in there. And then whenever God's using you, the Holy Spirit pulls it out and uses it. You see people, they just memorize, they know the Bible word for word, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's wonderful. And if you're like me, you say, well, why can't I do that? Well, I just can't. So, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that. I just know the Holy Spirit's there. I know that the word's there, and when need be, it'll be pulled out. Now, John 16:13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will not speak his own words. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what will happen in the future. Now, where is he hearing this from? God, right? Holy Spirit's hearing it from God, and then God speaks it to you. Now, if you really and truly pay attention to what goes on in here when we start prophesying, there's no way one person could say all the different things that's being said to the people. There's just no way you could do that. I mean, not in my mind, there isn't anyhow, because I think about this a lot, because people say, well, it's a false prophecy. But there's no way we could do that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. Now, there are false prophets that the devil speaks through, and he can say all kind of things too. But we don't have the devil prophesying in this church. And you just have to know that God's in control. And I just like whenever I called Amy up today, she wasn't expecting to be used by the Spirit of God, but she prayed and asked God to use her, or whatever, however she prays, and God just started speaking through her. She didn't know that was in there. She didn't know what was in the person. You see what I'm saying? So please don't, if you get a prophetic word that doesn't make sense to you, don't throw it in the trash can. God, down the road, you'll understand it. When I first started, I got many prophetic words. I didn't understand not a one of them, but I didn't throw them away. I kept them, and then down the road, they made sense. They started coming to pass. And please don't allow a prophetic word to send you in a tizzy either. I mean, God is God, and he loves all of his children. All right, the third point is God has promised to provide you with direction for all your ways. Proverbs 3:6 says, with every step you take, think about what he wants, and he will help you go the right way. We must always remember that the Holy Spirit cannot and will not govern any believer who isn't wholly surrendered to his will. The Spirit speaks to those who are prepared to obey his voice. Always remember that whenever the flesh or the devil comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit is always faithful to rise up and crush the attack if we will trust him. Acts 4:23, and with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let's read this again. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. So, if you're truly following God, truly giving your heart to God, you're just like you are an apostle, all right, to God. And when you speak to people, it will carry weight, and it will convict people. Maybe change them from what they are into a devil for a season till they get over their anger at this one who delivers the message. But it will carry weight, and it will cause people to think and change their ways. It really will. One thing I'm going to tell you all right now, don't look at the people's faces when you're prophesying to them. Just don't shut your eyes and just let God talk. Because if you had your eyes open, you'd want to get up and run out of the church. All right? We need to realize we have an adversary working overtime to cause destruction, inflict disease, and delay our prophetic destiny. And John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. He will perform any means possible to wreak havoc on your life. We need to understand that the enemy and his demonic cohorts are disciplined, organized, and committed. You know, I really wished we would be that way. I wish we'd be disciplined, organized, and committed to our walk with God. The enemy, the enemy, he makes his soldiers be committed and disciplined. Jesus says, I will not override your will. This is what I would love to do with your life, but if you don't want it, you know, that's up to you. But the devil said, you will drink, you will do drugs, you will watch pornography, you will. God doesn't do that. He said, this is what I desire for your life. But it's up to you whether or not you follow it. All right? We need to have the same determination as the enemy, walk in the Spirit, defeat the enemy at every turn. Through the Holy Spirit power, we can be disciplined, organized, and committed. You know, the deeper you walk in God, and the more power you allow the Holy Spirit to have in your life, the more God's going to reveal to you the deep secrets. The deep secrets of what's going to happen later on down the road. The deep, if you have a church, he'll give you the deep. He'll tell you what's going on in the people's lives. You know, you can come to me and tell me anything, but the Holy Spirit knows the truth. And the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to me about what's really going on in people's lives. And I don't condemn anybody. It's, God shows me that so I can pray. And you'll get them turned around. Not so I can say, you know, well, you're no good or whatever. Because in this walk with God, every day the enemy's coming at you. Every day you're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by my flesh. And whatever God tells the Holy Spirit to tell me to do, I'm going to do. Every day. Every morning before I get out of bed, I pray and I ask God for direction for that day. And I know a lot of you do too. But if you don't do it, you ought to make it a habit. Now, good morning, God. You don't want to open your eyes or speak, but good morning, God. And then do whatever. You lead and guide and direct my footsteps, my voice this day. Don't let me do anything totally stupid. Because how many of you know you can do some really stupid things? No, I'm not going to say some days. I'm going to say every day. Because what are we? We're human. We're flesh and blood. We aren't angels yet sitting up in heaven. Well, they don't sit in heaven. I hear they work in heaven. And we're down here in this earth. And like God told me one time, you have to live when you're down here in this earth. You just can't quit breathing, you know, and just sit around. You have to live. But you're in the world, but not of the world. I don't have to do the things that the world does, and neither do you. We do what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. Now, God's saying some of you need to quit gritting and grinding your teeth, and you just need to surrender. You know, that song, I Surrender, is a beautiful song. And just surrender to God and say, all right, God, your will, your way. That always reminds me of that one movie, and I can't think of the actor anymore. And he kept running from the police, and he went into this church. He said, and they were surrounding the church, and Paul Newman, you're so right. Yeah, remember that? I love that movie. I just love it how he said, all right, God, I surrender. Put his hand up, they shot him. But he kept running, you know, and kept doing all kind of things, and finally he just said, all right, God, I surrender. I just love that movie. I mean, it has so much meaning to it. And if we would just do that too, quit running. You know, he was such a good actor. You know, he did all kind of things just to show them he could. And then finally he said, when he was in that church, he said, all right, God, I surrender. All right, so some of you have shown us that you can do whatever you want to do. We already seen that, all right? Now I want you to surrender that flesh to God like Paul Newman did and let God have control of your life. He's going to kill you just like Paul Newman got killed, because he's going to kill that flesh so that it doesn't rule you any longer. And the altar's open for that. God wants that last bit of flesh that you're holding on to. And you want to say, I surrender. I surrender all.